We're holding Parashat Vayikel, and this week Vayikel and Pekudei are together. We're going to try to do a quick overview of the Parashiyot, and then we're going to try to go a little bit deeper, and if we have time, we'll continue our review of how the clothing of the Kohanim were made, because that's also enumerated in our Parsha. So our Parsha begins with Moshe Benu gathering the Jewish people, and he tells them, you must keep Shabbos. 6 days you work. On the seventh day, you have a holy day of Shabbos. Anyone who does work on Shabbos, melacha, gets killed. And you shouldn't burn fires in your houses on Shabbos. So we have a reiteration of the commandment of Shabbos. We had it in last week's parsha also. We said it's going to show up many times in the Torah. And then Moshe tells the Jewish people, you have to donate. We had seen in Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh where God commanded Moshe, he said, this is the donations you should collect from the Jewish people. And in our Parsha, Moshe enacts what God told him. He tells them, now you're supposed to donate whatever you want to donate. Whoever wants to could donate gold and silver and copper and blue wool and dark red wool and regular red wool and linen and goat's hairs and hides of red goats and hides of tachash and the special cedar wood, the atzei shittim. Everything whoever wants to, whoever has and wants to, could donate. And what?
It seems odd that someone had cedar, like wood.
So we discussed that. Where did they have the cedar wood from? So we brought either a medrash that they had brought it down to Egypt with them, that Yaakov Avinu knew his children would ultimately go into the desert, so he brought cedar wood with him to plant in Egypt. And when they left Egypt, they had a tradition to take it with them. Or the Medrash that Yaakov or Avram, I don't remember, and the Medrash says, one of the forefathers planted in the desert where he foresaw the Jewish people would be there, and that's where they got it from. Or simply understood, we could just say they bought it from the neighboring they were traveling, so they could buy it from the neighbors. Where'd they get everything else from? The oil, where'd they get olive oil from? We don't know of olive trees growing there.
You buy a couple bottles before leaving Egypt.
Of olive oil? No, that doesn't work. It's special olive oil that has to be processed in a special way. So, special spices for the special oil, whoever wants could donate. And then the parasha enumerates all the different things that can be donated, and all the different things that are going to be built. And the parasha tells us that the Jewish people heard this speech from Moshe, and they started donating, and donating, and donating, and donating. And they donated so much that the volunteers who were in charge of accepting the donations and keeping count of what was being donated came to Moshe and they said, look, this is the jobs we have to do, and this is the amount they gave. We already filled capacity to help to stop bringing. Enough. We have what we need. So they let out a message. They sent out word that no more donations. We have everything we need. Now the Torah records that the women, there were women who were very smart and they knew how to weave in a very special fashion. Our sages say they could weave the cloth when it was still on the goats. That's how smart they were. They knew how to weave it when it was still on the animals. And they did that. That was their donation, one of their donations to the building of the Mishkan.
Wasn't Hashem who gave them the
Hashem always gives us knowledge.
Yeah, I know. But all these people just like left Egypt. They were all slaves. All they knew how to make was bricks. I mean,
it doesn't seem that way. It seems like they knew how to make a lot of things from Egypt.
Hashem tells us that he gives bits of love, the knowledge. So I would imagine that he gave everyone else some knowledge, no?
Okay. You're saying maybe it was... I don't know. I think that whenever someone constructs something, whenever a person engineers something, the thought process is something that can be seen as godly. Meaning a second ago, you didn't have a building here, and then you think about it, and you decide you're gonna make something like that. Any invention, any idea that's planted into a person's mind to create something that wasn't there beforehand, can be attributed to godliness. I have an uncle who once told me, said that if you'll notice in the world, thoughts come down in spurts. That when you have a thought of starting a certain business or creating something, God gave down light to the world, And he gave the idea, and he didn't just plant it in your mind. My uncle told me, if you look around, you'll notice that when you have a certain idea, other people also get the idea. And historically, it's so. We see that Kodak and Eastman, approximately the same time, they both had the idea that they're going to start developing cameras. And the same thing was true with developing tape recorders. Germany was developing historically at the same time that the United States were developing. They did it much quicker than the United States did, and that caused the great confusion for the American spies, because they would record a speech of Hitler's and play it at different locations at the same time, or very short intervals of difference. And the American army got word from their spies, at this hour Hitler gave the speech here, and a short while later he gave it there, and they thought maybe they developed a plane that was much faster than any of the planes the Americans had. Why? Because they had developed a better tape recorder at the same time that people were developing tapes in the United States. So over here also, so they got there was godliness about the ideas that were given to the people, for sure. Is it so special that we'll call it that God gave them extra wisdom? I don't know. The Pasuk obviously attributes the wisdom to Hashem, but the Pasuk also attributes it to the people. It says, Isha Chachmat Lev, the woman who had wisdom. I don't know of any medrash that says specifically God gave rain an extra wisdom down to the world for people to do this. I don't know. The Tzalo had extra siyata d'shmaya.
They were all born in Egypt, but we came out of there.
But in Egypt also, what were they building? They were building special bricks. Cities. I don't know that they were only building bricks. They were also making bricks. We know that the construction in Egypt was something very special, historically. Today we don't know how they did many of the things they did in the pyramids. So maybe they learned it there. I don't know. Bottom line, they had a knack for it also. They had a God-given gift, and they used it. And then the Torah records that the Nesiim, the leaders of each tribe, they also gave their donation. They gave the special stones that went on the shoulders of the coin, and the stones for the Choshen, for the breastplate, and the special spices and the special oil. And everyone who could donated. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, Bezalel is the one that's going to head the show. God gave him extra wisdom. He's the one that's going to run the show. Bezalel has a helper, or Eliav, and everyone also wants to help. And Moshe calls them in, and they do it. So they build the Mishkan. And then the Torah basically records how they're supposed to build the Mishkan. And here we have a repeat of the commandments of how to build the Mishkan when Hashem told Moshe. A repeat of Truma, and we'll see a repeat of Tetzaveh, the different clothing of the Kohanim, and the different parts of the Mishkan that were built. So that's why, if we have time, we're going to study those sheets again, because we never finished discussing how the clothing of the Kohanim were. So they built the Mishkan. And the Torah records how they built the Mishkan throughout Parshas Vayakel. The Torah adds a point about the kior, that the kior, the special vessel that was used to wash the Kohanim's hands and feet, was made from special copper mirrors that the women had brought from Egypt. And we'll discuss the Medrash about why the Pasuk stresses this point. The Torah finishes recording how they built the Mishkan, and then Parshas Pekudei tells us what wealth was amassed to build the Mishkan. Pekudei lifkod literally means to take account. So Parshas Pekudei now records how much gold, how much silver, how much of different materials were donated for the building of the Mishkan. So again, we have a recording of the different clothing and the different parts of the Mishkan that were built, and what materials were used for those things.
Is there a source of Pekudei, is the source of how they found out how much a bar of gold is? Like,
yeah.
They give us the numbers of the Israeli heads above 20. They say this how much was given.
Right, that's true. Working backwards, we figure out how much a bar of gold was. Right. So they finish building the Mishkan. The Torah doesn't tell us a date when they finished everything. Everything was ready to be assembled. They bring it to Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu blesses the Jewish people for a job well done. And then Hashem tells Moshe, you'll construct it on the first of Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you'll construct it. We have a tradition that they finished all the preparations, the Mishkan was ready to be assembled in Chanukah. Chaf Hei Kislev. So now we have many, many months, think, from Chanukah till Nisan, almost till Pesach, the Mishkan is sitting folded up. And the Jews are wondering, what's going on? Did we do a bad job? Why doesn't God want us to build it? Our sages say that part of the idea of Chanukah, part of the celebration, is we're celebrating again the Chanukat HaMizbeach, the finishing, the completion of building the Mishkan. That happens in our Parsha. We completed building it in our Parsha. In Parsha's Pekudei, we finish everything, and everything's left folded. It's not constructed. Hashem says, wait. Now you're going to wait a few months, Hashem tells Moshe, till the first of Nisan, then construct the Mishkan. So, okay, that's the commandment. And there was foresight. God said there'll be a holiday that'll come that'll pay back Kislev. Kislev will have Chanukah. And Chanukah literally means the celebration of beginning. Chanukah, literally, Chanukah is like chinuch. What is chinuch? Chinuch is you start a person off in a certain way. You begin a person off that way. That's the idea of chinuch. We think chinuch is explained. Chinuch is getting him accustomed. You start doing something in a certain way. That's what Rashi says. So Chanukat HaMishkan, the beginning of the Mishkan, the beginning of its being used, really didn't happen here. Hashem says, now wait. And we're going to see in the future weeks, in Parshas Shmini and Parshas Tzav, we're finishing today, this Shabbos, we're going to finish Sefer Shmos. Sefer Vayikra begins with the commandment of how we bring sacrifices in the Mishkan. And then, after two parshas discussing what we do in the Mishkan, we have the commandment of how Moshe Rabbeinu really got the Mishkan ready to be used. And there were 8 days in which every day Moshe Rabbeinu would take apart the whole Mishkan and fold it up and build it up again until on the 8th day, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, finally we started using it. On that 8th day, finally the Mishkan was ready to be used. But there was a procession. First, we had many months where the Mishkan was folded on the side. So God tells him, you'll build it. And again, we have description. God tells him, this is how you should set it up. This is where this vessel goes. This is where that vessel goes. This is exactly how the Mishkan is supposed to look. So again, the Torah enumerates. These parshas are filled with enumerations. And the Torah enumerates how we anoint the different vessels to give them holiness, like we discussed, that the Shem Mishkan imparts holiness on the vessels. So the parsha again enumerates. You anoint this vessel and you anoint that vessel, and you dress Aaron with his holy clothing and you anoint Aaron, and then you take his sons and you dress them with their clothing as Kohanim and you anoint them, and they're going to be Kohanim for generations. And Moshe does what Hashem tells him. The Torah records over here a slightly foreshadowing, because we're going to see a more explicit explanation of what occurred, that really they kept what they were supposed to do. The Torah jumps forward and tells us that on the first of Nisan, Moshe built the Mishkan. But we're going to see in 3 or 4 weeks, when we learn the Parsha Tzav and Shmini, that really there's more elaboration as to what went on there. We're going to see over there that there were 8 days, the whole procession we described. So they built the Mishkan, and like Hashem said, with different vessels being placed in different places, and the menorah, and lighting the menorah. The Parsha ends that they built the Mishkan, and this is what Sefer Shmos ends with, that the holy cloud descended upon the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't enter. God, so to speak, was coming to give holiness to the Mishkan. And when the cloud lifted, then Moshe Rabbeinu could enter. And that's when God spoke to him. And we would look at that cloud. That cloud would tell us when we should travel and when not. The Jews always looked. The cloud that was over the Mishkan was the cloud that guided us to travel or to camp. When the cloud was there, we'd camp, but when the clouds started rising to move forward, we would follow it and travel. And that's how the parsha ends. And now let's go back to the beginning of the parsha, and we'll start looking at things more in depth. The parsha begins Vayakhel. Vayakhel is like the word kahal. Kahal, we would translate as a crowd, but kahal has a specific halachic definition. Kahal is, the Jewish people are called the kahal.
Congregation.
Call it a congregation. A person who's not Jewish is not part of the kahal. Only the Jewish people are part of the Kahal, and each tribe in and of itself is called a Kahal, according to one opinion. So the term Kahal is a special halachic term, which we're going to see, in Sefer Vayikra, that it has special halachic relevance, who's part of the Kahal and who isn't. Because for certain sacrifices, we say, they're representative of the Kahal specifically. So Moshe Rabbeinu gathers the Kahal, Vayakel. He gathers the Jewish people, and he commands them about Shabbos. Now, why does the Torah have to stress that the commandment of Shabbos was given in a gathering? So our sages say that here we have an allusion to a few things. One thing is the concept that the Jewish people are supposed to gather on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we're all supposed to come to the Beis Medrash. The rabbi is supposed to give a speech, and he's supposed to teach us the halachas. If you recall, the people would work in an agrarian society all week long. They're going out before sunrise to work. They're coming home at about sunset. They're eating their meals and going to sleep. They don't have that much time to learn. Where do they get their halachas? How do they know how to keep the Torah? So on Shabbos, the rabbi would give a long speech. And our sages wanted everyone to come to shul on Shabbos. So our sages instituted that Shabbos afternoon, you're not allowed to open a Tanakh. You're not allowed to sit down and read Mishle. You're not allowed to sit down and read Tehillim. They said, you're not allowed to read Nach in their time. You're not allowed to read Nach Shabbos afternoon because you're supposed to go to the rabbi's speech. And if you start reading the story of Daniel or start reading Nach, remember a lot of this is in Hebrew or in Aramaic, you might get carried away. And then you won't go to the speech, and then you won't know how to live like a Jew. And what's most important, that you know the halachos. Now what happened? Initially the rabbi would give a speech giving all the halachos. The generations got tired of this. They stopped coming, or they weren't listening, they weren't paying attention. So they started incorporating midrashim. They'd incorporate stories, a little bit of stories, and with the stories they'd include different halachot that the people were supposed to learn from the midrashim. And that's one of the ideas why we have midrashim. Obviously midrashim have secret deeper messages, but on the base level the idea of midrash was also to get the people to come to shul to hear the stories. You tell people, I'll tell you all the laws, they're not so eager to come. You tell them, you'll hear good stories, so they come. So Vayakel is an allusion to this concept. That what did Moshe gather them for? To tell them the laws of Shabbos. This is an allusion to the concept that on Shabbos we're all supposed to gather to shul. We're not supposed to be at home, even if we're learning at home. We're reading Tanakh or something else. That's not what we're supposed to do on Shabbos. We're supposed to learn to know how to keep the Torah. Another thing that our sages said this is alluding to is Moshe Rabbeinu's institution that we read the Torah Shabbos morning. Torah doesn't say anywhere, every Shabbos morning you're supposed to read the Torah. It doesn't say that. That's an institution that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted for the Jewish people. That Shabbos morning, you read a section of the Torah, a segment of the Torah. That's our Torah reading.
That's from our parsha this week.
So we see an allusion to it from the word Vayakel, that when he came to command them at Shabbos, he gathered them. Why was that so important that they be gathered? Just like on Shabbos, we read from the Torah, and in the Torah, you have to have 10 people around in order to do public Torah reading. So to Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came to command them at Shabbos, he gathered them. He put together a gathering of people. So you have to remember this. People sometimes think they'll go on vacation somewhere where they won't have a minyan. So theoretically, you could go somewhere where there isn't a minyan. I wonder what you'll do about kashrus. It's not the ideal. But to be there on Shabbat, to be there at a time when you're supposed to hear Torah reading and you won't hear it, that's a problem. There are some opinions that say on Shabbat, it's it's a biblical mitzvah for the Jewish people to gather. That Shabbat is called Moed. So we think of Moed as a set time. That's one understanding of the word Moed. But Moed could also mean like Bet Vad, a time for gathering that the Jewish people are supposed to gather together on Shabbos. So Moshe Rabbeinu gathers the people and he tells them, this is what Hashem commanded. 6 days, you could do work. On the seventh day, it's supposed to be holy. It's Shabbos. Shabbos for Hashem. So the Jewish people are commanded to keep Shabbos. And then Moshe Rabbeinu adds, don't burn a fire throughout your houses on Shabbos.
That